does a life of worship look like? Is there anything which is too much to give for the honor of God? Welcome back to Light of the Word Radio. This broadcast is sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. This week, Pastor Jim brings us a message on the place and power of faithful worship. It strikes us close to home, for we often will find any reason or any means to avoid that which should be the desire of our hearts. It's a message for us all. So let's listen as God speaks through His servant.
Luke 2, beginning in verse 39. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, he went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. But he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Oh, Holy Father, Lord, as we study in this text today, Lord, I do ask that you would speak through me. Oh, Father, as I realize so often, I realize my own sinfulness, and I ask you to forgive me and restore me in fellowship with you. And Father, I ask you not to let my sinfulness interfere with these you have gathered hearing your word this day. So I do ask that you speak through me, and that those who hear your word today would be moved by your word, that they would grow in their knowledge, in their favor with you, because they see more of you. And may they, Lord, be blessed with that. And it is in the name of Christ Jesus that I pray these things. Amen. Now, when we were last in this chapter, we were ended up with verse 38. And verse 38 was the closing of their trip to the temple. They had gone to the temple. They had gone for the purification for Mary, for the committing of Jesus. They had gone and Simeon met them and praised God. And then Anna met them and praised God. And now Luke says in verse 39, and then they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord. They returned to Galilee, to their own town. We have something missing here. Now, when we put out the nativity scene every year, there's three characters that are included in most nativity scenes that we generally put back in the box because it's not their time yet. Who are those three characters? The wise men, the magi. These wise men had to come before they left for Nazareth, right? The wise men had to come before that, but it had to happen after the purification. And you ask, why did it have to happen after the purification? Remember when they came for the purification and their sacrifice was a couple of turtle doves? Because they could not afford the lamb. So at this point, they did not have any finances to purchase a lamb. So at the time of the purification, they still had nothing. And so they brought, as the law allowed them, the turtle dove. But then, when the Magi come, they bring them great gifts and great wealth that they brought to them. And God was preparing them for the journey. And I want to jump into Matthew a little bit today, because I want to fill in that gap just a little bit. We don't get a lot of information about what took place in Jesus' life before his public ministry. And so I just want to jump in and not miss this part of the story. So I'm going to Matthew chapter 2, and I'm going to begin in the first verse. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? And we saw his star when it rose and came to worship him." When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. The assembling of all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. So it is written by the prophet, 'And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I too may come and worship him.' After listening to the king, they went on their way. And behold, the star they had seen when it rose went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. Then opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way." So we have this beautiful story of God's provision. You know, that's something that this little church understands, don't we? We have seen God's provision in amazing ways. We have seen God's provision when it came not from where we were looking, but came from someplace we weren't looking. We have seen God's provision when we were in need, he was there and he provided. That's where Mary and Joseph are. They're still in Bethlehem. This is after the trip to the temple. Kind of settled in a little bit because the Magi, the wise men, when they came, it said that the star rested upon a house. And when they went into the house, they found Mary and the child. So they bring these gifts to him. And Joseph and Mary, with their baby Jesus, went from very poor to a fair amount of wealth in God's provision. It says that Mary ponders these things in her heart. That's what Mary does. She takes all this in amazement. She knows what's going on, but she's just amazed by these things that she sees. And that includes this. But not everybody was glad to hear of this king. Not everyone was glad and joyful at the birth of Jesus. I have always been amazed that the very people who were the religious leaders missed it. They missed it. You know, sometimes we get so religious, we get so pious in who we think we are, that we miss what God is doing. And when we miss what God is doing, we have missed the blessing. We get so wrapped up in the day-to-day stuff And I don't know about you, but if you have a job, if you go to school, if you are retired and have family, then there's a lot of day-to-day stuff, isn't there? And we get all wrapped up in that stuff. And we miss it. Oh, the importance of this Savior. These wise men, these magi, they came a great distance from the east to come to Bethlehem to worship Jesus. When I think of this, I think of places today where people might have to walk hours to get to a place to worship together with brothers and sisters in Christ, where they have to hide themselves to do the worshiping. And then they walk hours back after they have spent hours in worship. Something I have heard over the years is, oh, that service is so long. You know, the service with those who truly love worshiping God could take hours, and the people do not realize how long it's taken because they are immersed in the joy of worshiping Jesus Christ. Many years ago, we took a trip to Washington, D.C. I went with three other men. We went to Washington, D.C. for Promise Keepers Stand in the Gap, 97, 98, somewhere in there. And on the way back, it came time for church. We were somewhere in Mississippi on the way back, and we pulled into a church. And this church, we didn't know anything about the church, but it was the only one we saw. This church was one of those where the service went on and on and on. And I tell you, we didn't realize how long we were there. They heard where we had been. They wanted every one of us to stand up and talk. And everybody's like, no, you're the preacher. You go talk. But it was a long service, but it was all full of joy. I didn't hear anyone walking out saying, oh, it's finally over. Because they came to worship God. These wise men traveled a great distance. We don't know exactly how long it took them. But according to the time they said they saw the star, Herod has the babies killed up to 2 years old. So somewhere probably between 1 and 2 years old is how old Jesus was when this took place. And I'm taking that from how long or how old the children were that Herod kills. That's also in this second chapter of Matthew. That's a long journey, isn't it? Now, how long did it take them? I don't know. I don't know how long they saw the star before they realized what the star was, and then they prepared themselves and they took off. But we can consider it was a great distance, and it took a lot for them to go. Folks, it's so sad to me when I see people who are physically capable of getting up and going and worshiping God, who profess to be Christians, and they have an excuse as to why they don't go. Whenever I say something, one of the things I hear is, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Some of you laugh. You've heard that, haven't you? But here's the fact. You don't have to go to church to be a Christian. But if you're a Christian, you will go to church. It's as simple as that. Why will you go to church? Because God calls you into the local body. So if you are a Christian, you will go to church, but you don't have to go to church to be the Christian. We're not going to get into all that today. But these people that came from a long distance, not only did they come to worship, but they came to give. One of my favorite biographies of Christian preachers in the past that I've ever read, and I've read about three different ones on him, was Billy Sunday. I like the boldness of Billy Sunday. Is it everyone here? Anyone here know who Billy Sunday is? Some of you? One of his sayings when he would preach is, it takes three books to worship God. Three books. He said it takes the good book, the hymn book, and the checkbook. Or in other words, give of yourself, of what you have and who you are. That's what the wise men did. They gave of what they had, and they gave of who they were. In today's world, they would say, oh, I'm too important to go that far of a trip to worship somebody else's Messiah, somebody else's king. But oh, friends, we don't see that. They were God's provision for Jesus. So they come and they worship. And Herod wants to destroy the child Jesus. Herod wants to kill Jesus. And so what does Herod do? He tells the wise men, when you come back, allow me to know where he is so that I too can go worship. Well, that sounded mighty good to the wise men, didn't it? Everybody should want to worship Jesus. But verse 12 there in Matthew 2 says, and being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. They were planning to go back so that Herod could come and worship. But that wasn't Herod's plan. And God intervened. And they were warned in a dream. Can you picture it? They all woke up the next morning. And they started to tell each other about their dream. And they all had the same dream. It doesn't say, but we can take a pretty good guess about who it was that told them this in the dream, couldn't we? Probably who? Probably Gabriel. Gabriel brought God's messages, whether in person or in dreams. We could take a good guess that that would be it, but not that that matters, but it's just part of what and who he is and who God made him to be. So they go another way. Then also, verse 13 of Matthew 2. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you. So Luke, for whatever reason, chose not to include this part of Jesus' childhood. But it's important, isn't it? It's important because of the scripture. So they take their new wealth and they go to Egypt. Now it wasn't going to be cheap for them in Egypt. They were Israelites. They were Jews. Going into Egypt, it was going to cost them. They were going to have to pay their way, so to speak. And so they go to Egypt. Verse 14, and he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill. This is why it was important. What the Lord had spoken by the prophet, out of Egypt, I called my son. It wasn't that he was an Egyptian, but they had been sent by the angel to Egypt to get away from Herod. I don't always understand why God does things the way he does. I would venture to guess that none of you do either. And if you think you do, we need to talk. Because God could have just struck down Herod. You know, God probably knew about Star Wars before it was done, don't you think? He could have put a force field around him. No problem. But God does the things that God wants to do. He lays it out always for this purpose, to provide information for you to see to glorify him. That's what you were created for. He gives you the information of his word so that you can see it and see his glory in it. And for that glory, Jesus and Mary and Joseph are off to Egypt. Now, Herod, as we've already said in this next section here of Matthew, he has the children 2 years old and under killed. All the male children, 2 years under and under. Didn't that happen in the past? Something similar? How did Moses end up in the river? Because there was a king in Egypt who was killing all the children. But God protected Jesus from this. But there was a great wailing. Verse 18, you see, it says the second part, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. Quoting from the Old Testament from Jeremiah. So now, they are in Egypt. Herod dies. And I'm going to continue with this story. I would spend a lot more time if I was actually preaching through Matthew in this. It would be several sermons and what I'm very quickly going through. But I just want you to see what took place between 38 and 39. Beginning in the 19th verse here, it says, "But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that," I'm going to mess his name up, "Archelaus was resigning over Judah in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee and went and lived in a city called Nazareth. So what was spoken by the prophet might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene." All that God does is for his glory. And time after time after time, he shows his hand. And the fulfilling of what his prophets said is of utmost importance in understanding who Jesus is. Because it was all laid out before the incarnation, before the birth of Jesus as man. So now we have this, and we come to that 39th verse, back in Luke, by the way, in Luke 2:39. "And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee and their own town of Nazareth." So this brings us up to the same place now as where we were in our text. We've seen that it wasn't just a straight shot back to Nazareth. It wasn't right after the purification, the time in the temple, but there was some time that passed in there. So they go back to Nazareth, and it says in verse 40, "The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." We see, we don't know the age. I'm sure there's some who have said the age. I don't know what the age is of Jesus at this point. But I do know this. He's younger than 12, and I would say years younger than 12. But now he's growing. They're settled into the community that they came from, and he is growing stronger, and his wisdom is growing. His wisdom is growing. Verse 41, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover." Remember, Mary and Joseph, they know that Jesus is the Son of God. They know that he is the Messiah. They know this. Gabriel made sure they knew it. They know that they are taking care of him for God. And they are making sure that they teach him according to the Word of God. At some point between the temple and verse 43, the knowledge of who Jesus is comes to him. He gains the full wisdom of God. How do I know this? Well, let's go on and we'll see. His parents, in their training, every year would go to the feast of the Passover. There were a number of feasts. The Jews had become kind of passive in some of the feasts. And there were some of the feasts that they didn't go to. They didn't observe. You know, they might observe it this year, but not that year. It's kind of like families, you know, sometimes when you have a husband and wife come together, they each have family. Sometimes they spend holidays with one. Sometimes they spend holidays with another, you know, and you have that kind of thing where they just kind of picked and choose when they would go to Jerusalem. But I believe from the scriptures that Joseph and Mary were very attentive to the feast and those things that honored God. They had to be. They were raising God. God the Son. Verse 42 says, "And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom." Now, a lot of people say that according to custom is the custom of going up to Jerusalem for the Passover. But I think it's also talking about their custom. It was their custom to go to the fest every single year. That they would go and do the Passover in Jerusalem. And of course, as we've talked about before, they'd have to go up to Jerusalem. You always went up to Jerusalem and down from Jerusalem. And so, according to their custom and according to the custom of the law, they make this journey. Now, we've talked about this journey over the last few months as we've gone through these first two chapters of Luke. This is a very dangerous journey. There were a lot of thieves and there were a lot of things that could happen to somebody traveling on this road. But they went in a group. They went in a group from their area that were all going to the Passover. Something MacArthur points out when he is teaching on this is that there were different groups that would go. There were some groups that would go that would not stay for the entire Passover. They would stay for a day. And there were others that would stay for the whole thing. Clearly, they were there for the whole thing. So they went up. Verse 43 says, and when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it.
What a terrifying event. Such a frightening thought to have your child left behind like that. But it was all part of the plan of God and the provision that He continues to make for His Son and for His people as a whole. Often the very things that seem so overwhelming and terrible to us are merely the beginnings of God's provision, the seed of His goodness planted into our time and life. And like all of God's good seed, in the fullness of time He will bring about the harvest that He has intended from the start. Oh, beloved, when you cannot see what God is doing, rest in His goodness and trust in His grace. We want to thank you for joining us today, and we would love to hear from you. If you want to hear more of Pastor Jim, you can find him on the web at www.sermonaudio.com. Just search for Lighthouse Southern Baptist Church. If you've been blessed by this message or have questions about the content or about our ministry, if you have need of counsel or guidance or want us to pray for you, please reach out to us and let us know. We can be reached in many different ways. We can be called toll-free at 800-416-9352. You can find us on the web at www.lightoftheWordRadio.com, or you can reach us by mail at Light of the Word Radio, P.O. Box 1, St. George, Kansas, 66535. When you reach out to us in any of these ways, you can also inquire about participating in the support of this ministry. If you desire to partner with us to keep this broadcast on the air, please let us know. We have a thank you gift we'd like to send if you mention it when you call or write. This has been Light of the Word Radio, sponsored by Lighthouse Baptist Church. We want to thank you for allowing us to spend some time with you. We hope that you'll join us next time. Until then, I'm Pastor Eugene, and on behalf of all of us here at Light of the Word Radio, thanks. And may God bless you and bless the hearing of His Word.
Hello, friends. Pastor Jim here with today's final word. Today I would like to look at the question from the catechisms. In the Westminster Shorter Catechism is the number one question. What is the chief end of man? The answer, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Now, we hear from people all the time, and as I've been watching the Southern Baptist Convention this week, I've been hearing this as well, that certain things, such as obeying His Word, are secondary issues. Folks, if you're going to glorify God, first you must be His. You must be His. You must belong to Him. He must have saved you. And if you're going to glorify God, secondly, you must be obedient. Yes, we're covered with the blood of Christ. Yes, we're under grace and not under the law. But I'm here to tell you, He expects us to follow after His commandments. In fact, Jesus told us, if we love Him, we will keep His commandments. And that's a great measuring stick or measuring tool for us to look at. And if we love Him, then all that He says in His Word is going to be a primary concern to us. So friends, I ask you, glorify God. Glorify Him with all you have, all you are, all you will ever be, and enjoy Him forever. Until next time. Sola Deo Gloria.